saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. This podcast is brought to you in part by Dragon Shield. Use code PLAY215 at the affiliate link down below for 5% off to help support the show.
Welcome to the Play to Win podcast, where we talk about winning in CEDH. I'm Cam.
I'm Dylan, and now CEDH is an official bracket.
That's true!
We are talking about the brackets today. Wizards just announced that they have the 5 brackets for Commander that they're unveiling as a way to help players find like-minded pods. Overall, we're just going to talk about today. That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to get into it.
Exactly. We are doing away with the old and never fully established power scale ranking system of 1 through 10s, where we just arbitrarily all said that our casual decks were 7s and no one had fun at casual tables.
Well, that's not exactly true. We didn't have fun at casual tables.
We know it.
Yeah, I think the big issue with the 10 one is just like no one wants to be below a 5. 10 is just far too many numbers. So having them locked up as brackets of 5, and realistically for most casual players, there's really only 3 options. And I think that's good. It kind of narrows it down. It doesn't give you so many options of what to choose from. And we have loosely beta systems of what these brackets are. Very early system. I've heard a lot of voices of people being a little bit unhappy with how they're bracketed off and how they're sanctioned off. I think it's a good start.
It's a great jumping off point, yeah. Right? Again, this is the beta, and they're trying to do the literal impossible, which is get the entirety of the community on board with the new system that's going to eventually make it better for all players in general. Yeah. This is just the first stepping stone, and it will take many stepping stones until we get to a perfect system. I would also argue the system doesn't need to be perfect. We don't need this to be perfect. It could stay as is for forever, and that's okay, because this is intended to be a jumping off point into a conversation with your pod so that you can have an idea as to what you're getting into in a game and what everyone's goals are for that game. It's not to create ban list for Commander and have 5 separate commanders. It's just to be a conversation starter.
Yeah, and I think for most people, this is not going to change anything. If you got a consistent play group that you play with and you know your friends and you guys know what you're playing, and this isn't going to do anything for you. This isn't a way to like, hey, don't play Smothering Tithe in your deck anymore because it's a bracket 3 card or whatever. That's not what this is about. This is, from my perspective, a way to get new players at conventions, at local game stores who have never met before, to have some starter language that they can say, this is around the power level of my deck, and have there be like a succinct point to point to. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Rather than in Connecticut, a 7 is this, but in New Jersey, a 7 is actually this, where like now we have Some words to define them.
Exactly. So let's go over what all the brackets are, even though we won't be touching most of these on the channel, probably. I shouldn't say never. So a bracket 1 deck is called an exhibition deck, which is your ultra casual commander deck. They call this a deck that has no mass land denial or extra turn spells, no 2-card infinite combos, no game changers. What's a game changer, you're asking?
A new term, yeah.
We'll talk about them after we run through all the brackets.
Yeah, that's what they did too. That made it confusing for me to understand,
you know,
the brackets.
What? Fuck what they did then.
Can we talk about what
let's talk about all the game changers are.
Because you can't really evaluate these things without knowing what the game changers are.
All right, so let's talk about what the game changers are, since that is coming up now. So the game changers list is a new list we all have to know that's 40 cards.
That are semi-banned.
That are like semi-banned from low bracket decks, but you can play some in medium bracket decks, and you can play however many you want in high bracket decks.
Right. These are just like the strongest cards in the format, basically?
Well, depending on who you ask.
Yeah.
Some of them are some of the saltiest cards in the format. To me, when I look at this list, this is like a list of cards I, as a CEDH player, would never want to put in my casual decks because I'm getting my fill of them in CEDH.
Yeah, I would say this is a good chunk of these cards are CEDH staples, which with each color having 1 or 2 like ultra casual cards that are not really powerful in CEDH, but are very powerful in that tier right below CEDH. that just is excluding the meta. So should we just list them all real quick?
Let's list them all.
They've been on screen right now.
Yeah, they've been on screen for a little while. But white has Dranith Magistrate, Enlightened Tutor, Sarah's Sanctum, Smothering Tithe, and Trouble in Pairs for some reason. I don't know why that one's on here, but right. Okay.
Yeah, so Dranith Magistrate, Enlightened Tutor, and Smothering Tithe. CDH staples, I would never touch these in casual decks. These are the strongest cards white has access to. I think I would argue Ranger Captain, but Ranger Captain shouldn't be here.
Sarah's Sanctum is on here because Gaia's Cradle's on here and Talarian Academy's banned, so I feel like they just had to keep the whole cycle in check this way.
Yeah, I think so.
That one and Trouble in Pairs are a little bit more surprising to me.
Trouble in Pairs stops extra turns, right?
Which, to me, is something that casual players hate.
Right, yeah, that's the whole part of the one and the two tier is the no extra turn stuff, so you'd think you'd want a good answer to that, and Trouble in Pairs, in my experience, is not really that great.
I haven't read anything about why that card's on this list, but I would be curious as to why that's here.
And also, I want to mention that, really quick, we mentioned that mass land disruption is not allowed in this early tier.
Ooh, you're right. So even though that Ravages of War and Armageddon, we didn't say...
All the white mass land disruption spells, white would have like 15 more cards because all of those land disruption, that would be in this no land disruption. So in my mind... It's a game changer.
And to be clear, mass land destruction, they mean things that will shut players off of four or more lands.
Consistently.
On a turn-by-turn basis. So, like, Stasis isn't going to be on this list, but it falls under the mass...
Land disruption.
Yeah, and so that's why Winter Orb isn't on this list, but
that would
also be here.
Land denial, they're saying. Mass land denial.
Denial. That kind of... encompasses everything, which is much better. Yeah,
bouncing lands, tapping lands, blood mooning lands,
sunder,
all of
stuff
that.
Like that. Speaking of blue cards, the blue game changers are Cyclonic Rift, Expropriate, Force of Will, Fierce Guardianship, Rhystic Study, Thassa's Oracle, Urza, Lord High Artificer, Mystical Tutor, and Jyn Gitaxis.
Yeah,
poor
so,
Augur.
So for these, like Force of Will, Fierce Guardianship, Rhystic Study, Thassa's Oracle, Mystical Tutor, these are all CDH staples, right?
I would argue Cyclonic Rift is also too.
Cyclonic Rift to me isn't a blue staple because I don't played in all my blue decks. It's like a specific blue card. It's not really like a staple. I don't think it goes in all the blue decks right now in CDH, does it?
Oh, in CEDH.
Yeah, in CEDH.
In casual...
I'm specifically saying those cards were the CDH staples.
I see. Okay. No, you are right. I like Cyclonic Rift in my, like, Thrasios kind of more mid-rangey decks where I need to bounce a bunch of creatures, like, two opposition agents at the same time. This is just the easiest way to do it in one card.
But if you're looking to win early, Cyclonic Rift is not often the best choice. You'd rather... There's a couple of one-mana options that do this at this point.
True. I guess I have it in the CEDH category because that's where I play it. And I guess was already looking at that card as a game changer in my head.
And I very much agree with it being here. Cyclonic Rift, I do not think it doesn't belong in the early beginning tiers where we're trying to keep things a little bit lower. So that totally makes sense.
And this is our first instance also of seeing a commander on here too in Urza, Lord High Artificer, which I think is also interesting that like they're not just limiting this to cards in your 99. Like there's also game changers that are your commanders that are going to be one of the certain number of game changers you could be playing in specific tiers.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Urza not particularly strong in CDH right now. It's playable, it's fine, but I think in high power, Urza really dominates in that tier just below CDH where you're just kind of avoiding the best combos. Urza is really good when you ban like the best when you soft ban the best combos.
Exactly.
Jyn Gitaxis didn't make sense to me at first, but it does create in a world with limited removal a situation where where your opponents just have no cards in hand right away. Like if they can't kill Jyn Gitaxis right away, it's gone. In CDH, Consecrated Sphinx here makes more sense to me because Consecrated Sphinx is like a more played card, but I don't know. I get it, Jyn.
It feels like a one-card win condition. You can flash it in when no one's ready for Jyn Gitaxis.
Like 10 mana.
I guess, yeah. But, like, it's casual. The games are going super long, right? Yeah. Like, we're not as used to where that card could be as miserable. But considering that the group of people that came up with this list was a wide swath of different kinds of commander players, there are probably games where cards like Jyn Gitaxis and Trouble in Pairs are doing things to certain games that... I've just never experienced or even fathomed that they could be, but...
Expropriate, too, is just another, like, classic, casual, strongest card that we can play in casual commander is Expropriate.
Yeah.
Black cards?
Let's move on to black. Yeah, so this is Bolas's Citadel, Demonic Tutor, Imperial Seal, Opposition Agent... Tegrid, God of Fright, Vampiric Thurgrid. Tutor, and Ad Nauseam. I paused a little bit to purposefully mispronounce her name.
These also make sense to me. I mean, like, Demonic Tutor, Imperial Seal, Vampiric Tutor, Ad Nauseam, straight staples, Opposition Agent, and Bolas's Citadel are powerful CDH cards.
Tegrid, another very salty commander for a lot of players. Yep. surprised that Necropotence isn't on this list. Yeah. Like, all of the other mass black draw spells are here, but we don't see that one.
Yeah, no Necropotence. I also, it's a little bit strange to not have Demonic Consultation Tainted Pact when you have Thassa's Oracle. I get it, because those cards on their own are not nearly as strong. Just something that I thought about, but Necro 2 is another one
yeah,
where...
Yeah, I guess if we do end up banning Thassa's Oracle down the line, we probably wouldn't ban Consultation, because yeah. like, we want to leave open Laboratory Maniac, which, by the way, you could do in your...
And your twos, technically, you could put Laboratory Maniac in Demonic Constellation. Yeah.
Well, when we go over twos, we'll see if that's the case. Yeah.
Red?
Red has two cards, Jessica's Will and Underworld Breach. So even Wizards knows that it's the worst color in Commander.
Yeah. This is also another one, though, that has a lot of mass land denial, though. Blood Moon and all the Destroy All Non-Basics, all of those are kind of in this soft
Stone
category.
Well, Stone Rain is not in that category.
Stone Rain is fine.
You can stone someone because it's not mass land denial.
Right, Stone Rain's not. But I'm talking about Blood Moon. I'm talking about the one that destroys all non-basic lands, the 4-mana one that does that. I think there's 2 4-mana red sorceries that destroy all non-basic lands.
You know
lands.
What? Even shit like Wildfire
yes,
and
that would all kind of be
softer.
Stone Rain is fine. Play your Stone Rains. Yeah. He even mentioned that one. Stone Rain is not even good in Commander. You can play
Stone
Rain.
Yeah, don't Stone Rain
it's
someone.
The mass land disruption. So those would all be here too. The only one that I'm surprised isn't here is Magda. Urza's here. Magda's not here.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah,
Magda feel like to me is a better commander.
Yeah,
even.
I feel like, I guess maybe that's a self-policing thing where somehow maybe Magda players aren't ruining casual games the way that others are, but
yeah.
I've never tried to build casual Magda. I don't know if that's possible or what that would look like.
I'm sure you could go all in on dragons and shit. Yeah.
I guess that's true.
Just dwarves and dragons.
Yeah, dragons are still really
awesome,
good
actually.
In casual. I want to go home and look at this.
Breach and Jessica's Will makes sense. So Jessica's Will, it's a powerful card, but like
Red
just
Red
lost
needs
we
yeah.
need some powerful cards in red.
Yeah.
But Underworld Breach is, it was busted since the moment it was born.
For green, we only have 3 cards. We have Survival of the Fittest, the aforementioned Gaia's Cradle, and then Varinclex, Voice of Hunger. Again, these aren't very surprising to me. Survival of the Fittest is a historically busted tutor spell. Cradle is also busted, makes a ton of mana. Maybe its price has something to do with it being on here too.
And Gavin did mention in his article, don't go selling your Gaia's Cradle. This doesn't mean these cards aren't going to get banned. That's not what this list is
at
all.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's a little bit of a watch list. If there is something that's going to get banned, it's going to come from this list. Likely, which is like good to know, but he said just because it's on this list does not mean it's going to get banned. And he specifically said Gaia's Cradle is not getting banned.
But he could also call out Nadu too and say if there's other bummed scenarios that like they can also skip this list and just go right to ban.
If it's a new set, we're not gonna have an old card get banned out of nowhere, like a Mana Crypt situation. That's not gonna happen.
No, anything new like that would get put on this list, it seems. Yeah. We got a couple of other commanders that have made the list, including Kinnan, Yuriko, Winota, and Grand Arbiter Augustine the Fourth. That last one is just another miserable commander for casual groups to play against, and we have 3 other historically known CEDH decks at the table that also historically can't really power down too casual as well.
Even if you weaken these decks, if you're just doing big mana stuff or ninjas or humans and non-humans, these decks will be powerful. It kind of doesn't matter what you put in them. If you stick loosely to the theme, the deck is going to be the strongest deck at the table at a casual deck.
Interestingly enough, all 3 of those CEDH options too put things into play at an uncounterable and very difficult to interact with way too.
Right.
So
same reason why they're good in casual is why they're good in CEDH.
Exactly. And then we have a bunch of colorless cards, including Ancient Tomb, Chrome Mox, The One Ring, The Tabernacle at Pendril Vale.
Which is the coolest name for a card ever. I have to think that in my head every time.
Agreed. That card's 3K now, though. Who's playing
and
that?
It doesn't make any sense. It's a land that doesn't tap for mana. That's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
But it is just such an interesting card. That's
so
cool.
It's the spirit of what it does.
Yeah.
Trinisphere is on this list. Grim Monolith is on this list. Lion's Eye Diamond, Mox Diamond, Mana Vault, and Glacial Chasm.
Yeah.
Notably, no Chrome Mox or Mox Opal.
Nope. Chrome Mox is here.
I did say Chrome Mox.
Yeah,
notably, no Mox Opal, but that's because it's on theme for other things.
Yeah, no Mox Opal, no Mox Amber. Those ones are okay. I agree with. That's fine.
And no Sol Ring either, though, too. And again, that's another one that they specifically called out as just being a staple of Commander that is in every precon, and that's just part of what Commander is.
Yeah, for power level reasons, Sol Ring does belong here, but just because it's Sol Ring, it's not here, so you can play it in every deck. I completely agree with most of these. I wouldn't touch any of these in casual, really, besides Glacial Chasm. Glacial Chasm is the only game changer on any of these lists that I actually do include in one casual deck. I don't have any of these in my other casual decks. Do you? You only have one casual deck at this point, right?
I literally only have one casual deck that I'm playing right now, and it's Tarmogoyf, and doesn't play anything remotely close to these.
For CDH, this list doesn't matter to us at all. The only thing that it will allow me to do is that when someone plays a Smothering Tithe, I can say, oh, game changer, and make sure I have now another political point that I can argue everyone focus on the person who played the game changer.
I do like that aspect of it.
Besides that, nothing's going to change for us.
Yeah. All right, so those are all of the game changers. So let's go back to talking about what these brackets are.
Yeah, this makes a lot of sense. Okay, so yeah, the Exhibition 1, the Exhibition One, no game changers.
All those cards we just mentioned, you can't play, and you can only play few tutors in this deck.
This is my first bugaboo here.
Okay.
Few tutors, I don't really like that. And I know they don't want to give like specifics, but I feel I would really appreciate some specifics on what few tutors means. Although I think in the article, they do talk a little bit more about what tutors is. So like Rampant Growth, that's not counted as a tutor.
Arid Mesa, not a tutor.
Arid Mesa, so your fetch lands, not a tutor. Tutors are specifically going to get a card. So this is few tutors, and it says like someone are good. I think it would be good to have a little bit more explanation about what few tutors means.
All right, so
that's all.
I disagree.
Okay.
I think this is exactly the kind of wording that I want here.
Okay.
Because this helps start the conversation. I have three tutors in my deck that are Idyllic Tutor, Steel Shaper's Gift, and Open the Armory in my equipment deck.
Okay.
And then, or enchantment deck, because
whatever it is.
One of them, Idyllic Tutor can't find artifacts.
I think that it's just enchantment.
So bad. Oh my god. Either way, like, those are three cards that aren't on the game changers list that are tutors that could be good in a deck that you're playing. And then someone else could say, hey, I only have two in my deck. And you guys can both go, we still are playing ones because they're very on theme, people looking sideways decks. Because it doesn't say a number, it will help people not make homogenized decks, and it which a lot of casual players like.
That's fair.
And it will also just help continue the conversation to make the pregame conversation deeper instead of just being surface level. We all play the same fucking thing.
Yeah, I guess if it's hard, you can go right away. You can't play with us. Your deck has four tutors. Get it out. You can't play with us. Whereas a few tutors, you can say, I have four tutors, but two of them are six mana tutors.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, okay. And then it opens up a conversation. So,
okay. Community, don't ask for more restrictions. Let them keep
that
it
makes
open.
Sense. Okay.
Because later on, when we talk about upgraded decks, I'm going to have a problem with how many game changers you're allowed to play in that too.
Okay.
And I think that there's just a better way to handle that. And I think saying few tutors is actually a genius way to get people talking more.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay,
which they
yeah.
already are, by the way. Everyone's already talking about what is few tutors. Talk to your pod. Figure out what it is in your pod, and then you can play around that.
Yeah, I think I like that, actually, because it's worded in a way that allows you to have a conversation, not a way that allows you to exclude people just because they don't fit your list. So
I don't think they're trying to make a metagame inside of all of the brackets either.
CDH players will be trying to do that.
CDH players will, but I think in general people won't. All right, let's move on to the second bracket.
Core.
What a dumb name. Most of these names are dumb.
Yeah. This is your first bugaboo. The names are stupid.
The names are all stupid, yeah. All right, the average current pre-constructed decks are core decks, which I think makes sense to be basing things around things that you can just buy in a box and take out and play right away.
Yep.
These decks will have no mass land denial and no chaining extra turns. So maybe they'll have Time Warp, but they won't have a whole Narset Enlightened Master strategy going on.
And that's the only difference that these two lists, besides what like the top part that says like roughly what it is. The only band difference thing is just no extra turns versus no looping extra turns.
Yeah, I feel like these decks are supposed to be a little bit more coherent in general too. Like they're starting to build around synergy more instead of theme.
Right.
Which theme can be synergistic, but I think that the synergistic themes will tend to fall more towards what a core deck will feel like versus everyone sitting in a chair dot deck.
Right, yeah. And I think a lot of Exhibition 1 decks are also going to be players just like, this is just pile of cards that I have that work together loosely on a theme. I really think that's what 1's going to be. It's going to be your new players or your players who are very specifically powering down a deck. Because a pre-constructed deck, even though they've come a long ways, they're still, in my opinion, not super powerful decks.
It depends. It depends on the kind of game that you're having, right? Because there's so much different shit that can happen in a casual game.
Yeah, so the other things that, no two-card infinite combos, no game changers, and few tutors. Again, same thing as the one.
All right, and then let's go to three, which they're calling upgraded, which stems from the current vernacular of saying, oh, this is an upgraded precon, which technically every single deck is if you take out a card and put something else in. But they're basically beyond the strength of an average precon deck, which they say most decks are going to fall into this category because it's still no mass land denial, no chaining extra turns, but there is an allowance of late game two-card infinite combos, just like a way for the game to end, and then three game changers are allowed in these decks.
Yeah, only three.
Well, again, let's this is where my bugaboo comes back with this whole thing. Instead of saying few game changers,
now
we're giving
in
a specific number, and now we're telling people how to build their threes. And again, I think that's going to homogenize the format and start to create a metagame.
It's basically a point system.
It kind of is, but at the same time, they're not saying that you can show up to a pod and say, hey, I have a fourth.
Yeah.
I have a fourth, and
you
people will
you
like kick
here.
You out.
Can't
like,
sit here. Take it out of
your
deck.
It's not about that. Like, I think if they would have said few, we could have the same conversation that we could have with tutors, and then that way we could have like, no, I only want to play one and it's my commander. And then like that kind of also makes pods feel a little bit different.
Yeah, I could see that. I think it's interesting that the only restriction on combo is two card combo. Even in tiers one and two, it says no two card combos, but three card combos are okay, which is kind of interesting because to me, even a three card combo, I wouldn't play in a one.
Yeah, I wouldn't put a three card combo in a one either.
Maybe we're at a point now in Magic where combos are part of the game and you just need to expect that. Like in Foundations, there was a two card combo in like a core set, right?
Oh, it's been a long time since we had that happen.
Right, yeah. And I think that was done very purposefully. And I'm like talking on my ass here, but I'm pretty sure there was an article that was like talking about like why that was a purposeful choice. That's interesting because for me, I hadn't thought that, but maybe I need to come around and say, yeah, I'm actually perfectly comfortable playing my three card combos in my zombie deck where I need to get my three different things out. Now I'm okay with that. That's part of low power commander.
Yeah, I feel that.
And two cards are the issue?
The reason why they think that most decks are going to fall into this category is because the fourth bracket, they are calling optimized, and it's just as high power commander, it's time to go wild, and there are no restrictions other than the ban list.
Yeah, so to me, this is an area that I really don't think I'll ever play because in my mind, this pod is like an in-between pod. This is purposefully not acknowledging CDH or you just haven't found CDH yet where you're doing essentially the strongest thing your commander can do, but you're not specifically thinking about the metagame. This would be like a deck that doesn't include Valley Floodcaller. All the CDH decks that can are including Valley Floodcaller because in the metagame of CDH, Rhystic Studies dominate, being able to win over top of other people is very important. But in like just the most high power version of a deck, you're probably not going to include Valley Floodcaller just because. You're going to include other things that make your deck as busted as possible specifically.
You're making your deck as synergistic and as powerful as possible because it's your deck. Instead of like, oh, I get to play Thrasios Timna because they're the best commanders.
Right, because Seabor Muse is good this month. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Exactly,
whereas that'll change in 6 months because something will shift slightly.
I have so many feelings. I'm blending all of my feelings about this all together. When I think before we continue talking about optimized decks, we should talk about the fifth bracket, which is CEDH.
We have our own tier.
Which is fucking awesome.
We're acknowledged.
I previously thought that we shouldn't have our own bracket because we would just exist within whatever the highest bracket is. But I'm more than fine having our own bracket because what I think is going to be very important as the distinguisher between optimized and CEDH is the mindset that you have in games as opposed to deck building. So much of this, I think, is just built around what your deck is like, when really 50% of these conversations is also going to be like what kind of a game you're trying to get.
Yeah.
And I think, and there was a post on Reddit that I'm going to refer to here where for people who are confused between the difference between what a 4 and a 5 is, in a 4, you can complain about people targeting you, king making, you can complain about card prices and proxies, and you can't do that in CEDH.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
That's
true.
What it's more about what it's like in the game and how you're playing the game. You're not making spite plays. You're not king making. That is the main difference between a CEDH deck versus a optimized deck. So you can see some crossover from optimized into CEDH.
They're going to share probably 80 to 90% of the same cards, I would imagine.
Yeah.
These decks are going to be actually very similar. But how you play them and what you're playing against is going to be very different, right?
That's really all it is.
That's the main difference.
And I do want to say that although I have problems with a lot of these names, I do think optimized is a better name here because I think there is a difference between optimized and optimal. Like you don't have to push your deck to be CEDH. You can still play in a like slightly powered down version based on cards that you want to play, but you're more optimized to be as like consistently powerful as you can.
No one's deck is going to be a 3, a 2. It's still going to be grayish. Yeah. It's going to be somewhere close to these things, somewhere in between. I just really want to quick point out the fact that the CDH tier is here. I think this is a huge, incredible, giant good thing for CDH, because if Wizards is announcing this is the end point of Commander, I think it'll tell a lot of beginner players, oh, I see where the goal is. Whereas before, a lot of them, maybe they didn't find their way to YouTube. They're not internet people. They didn't find the online community of CDH, so they don't know what the final step is. They're hovering at that 3 to 4 because they don't know where to go. Whereas now, can you imagine if these inserts are in a precon deck where they say, this precon is a 2, but if you wanted to see what a 4 and a 5 is, here's what a 5 could look like with the same deck. And
oh, and they put the play to win logo
and
next
they put
to
the play
CDH?
To win. Well, yeah, find the play to win or whatever. Like, I think this opens the doors for players to much more easily find CDH, which I think is a huge good positive thing for
us. As opposed to having to wait years of digging through content and playing so many games to have to figure out that there is CEDH there. You can just like kind of find it.
Now you know right away. You take it out of the box. The slip is there. I know what the end point is. I know what my end goal for this deck is right now. Even if you're a player that's not quite there yet, you know how to get there, which I think is going to be a huge thing.
So which I also think will help people then overall learn to understand the difference between optimized and CEDH at that point then too.
Yeah. Definitely. Should we talk about, go back to upgraded real quick? I feel like the game changers. Do you think that there should be a few game changers for this one? Because I feel like we were talking about that a little bit, like just like the game changers on this one. Do we have an issue with the like 3 game changers, or should it be more?
I think I'll only have an issue with 3 game changers if the community as a whole takes that very literally and just goes, no, you're only allowed to play 3 game changers in your 3 deck. If that's the case, I feel like there's still room between upgraded and optimized, where I guess technically optimized covers everything that would be 4 game changers and above. But like, I don't know, I feel like having room for decks that just play game changers as their commander, or just like one game changer, or the ability to say, I want to do it more like a 10-point system, everything is 1 point. I want to play 10 game changers in my deck without it being CEDH. I don't know. I think there's room, but I think that if we get to say few game changers, that allows us to have that conversation a little bit better.
Yeah, I know over the next few months, I think a lot of things probably will shift with this. I know in Chicago, they're going to try out these systems and see if they can kind of categorize people a little bit, and we'll get a lot of in-person feedback, which I think will be really good. And then I know by April, the goal was to have a couple things come off the ban list. From what he was saying, it seemed pretty clear to me that Coalition Victory was coming off the ban list. Gavin mentioned it twice in the video as like a card that shouldn't be on the ban list. And then he mentioned that some things might be coming off the ban list in April. So I think Coalition Victory is going to come off, and it'll make no difference in CDH whatsoever.
Exactly. Yeah. I think we have a good shot of getting at least one card unbanned.
Yeah. I also put in quotes, Primetime could come off. So I'm pretty sure there is a world where Primeval Titan could be unbanned. I don't know if that's a real world. Or if that's a good or just world, that one might make small waves in CDH though. Primeval Titan.
I know people like to say that, but like, I don't know. I feel like once you get Gaia's Cradle and Emergent Zone, I have no other hits that I want to get with that card. And a 6-mana 2
that's
land.
Pretty good.
I guess, but they come into play tapped.
No.
Primetime has them come to play tapped. The only reason why the decks in Modern work is because of Amulet of Vigor.
Amulet of Vigor. Yeah, yeah, you're right. You're right.
No,
you're right.
Primetime would suck in CEDH.
I don't think so, dude. I don't know.
Maybe in like a Kadama Sakashima deck, it would be great.
Maybe. I think it'll be. I don't know. I think Primeval Titan people would try it out in CEDH.
Oh, I think they'll try it out, but I think it'll be like a. Like, remember when Jace the Mind Sculptor got unbanned in Modern and how short-lived that was?
Yeah.
I think it would end up being like that. Yeah, people will try it out just because it's a new toy that we have and then realize it's not good and then move on.
Overall, I think this bracket system is good. I think it's a great start. I think we're not there yet. They mentioned several times that it was beta, it was early stages, but I think it's going to be a really good start.
Yeah, but just to reiterate my point that I think is that I've just been trying to make this whole video, if they don't change anything, I think this is still a great, better way for tables to have conversations, which what is the point of this? It's not to dictate how you are to build your deck. It's just a way to help players achieve the same goal that they want in a game.
Yeah, in my opinion, it's either going to do nothing to you or it's going to be a net positive. I don't really think there's like a real world where this could be like a super net negative. The only thing it's going to do is not allow you to play with lower power decks or not allow you to play with higher power decks. That's the only thing, which is good.
Even then, they did clarify that like ones and twos can play together, twos and threes can play together, like threes and fours can play together, and probably fours and fives can play together too. Like as long as you're not one full bracket away from another deck, you can still have a really good time in a a pod, which I think is, again, just something that we need to remember. We're not creating five different commanders. We're just helping players have conversations.
Yeah, and it doesn't, like I said before, it doesn't work exactly like it's black and white. Like, for instance, Moxfield has already kind of started to label people's decks as twos, threes, and fours based on what, if you want to, you can go in and customize and you can label it as a five or whatever. But there's it's already found ways to do that. But for instance, my Tovelar Werewolf deck, casual, very bad, but it's got a Blood Moon in it, which means it's a three. My Edgar deck has none of the things, no extra turns, none of the stuff that's not allowed, but Edgar technically could win on turn four or five. It's a, in my opinion, it's a pretty powerful casual deck, much stronger than Tovelar, but it's a two. So the system, it's not black and white. It doesn't work like that. Now, yeah. I'm probably going to change my Tovelar list because I have Blood Moon in there just for thematic reasons, and I always tell the table, hey, everyone, Blood Moon's in here for thematic reasons, and my friends don't care, but I think I'm probably going to take it out so that it fits more that two category because I want Tovelar to be a weaker deck. That's kind of the goal, is for it to be a strong werewolf deck, but all it does is werewolf stuff. So if that means take out the Blood Moon, that's totally fine by me. And now I have kind of a reason to put some even more creative cards in the deck.
I've heard a lot of that too, where like it's helping people kind of realize like, oh, well, if I just take Ancient Tomb out of my deck, now my deck is at like a more regular power level that I want this to be at. Whereas like for me, I have one casual deck right now, and now I'm thinking like, I could just throw a couple game changers in there because I have one casual deck. My next one, I'll make the weaker deck, and I can now like I have a little bit more room to make it more consistent, a little more powerful.
Yeah, and I was thinking the same thing like Vilas. My Vilas deck my goal is to make a mono black powerful casual deck, but it has no game changers. I took out Bullish Citadel, but now I'm thinking I can fit three game changers in here because I want this deck to be a powerful casual deck. That's the goal. So fuck it, I'm gonna try to add some more of these powerful cards.
That might be something that I do too. That's giving me what is it called when you want to do something
like
because
incentive.
Something else told you to do it, basically,
because something else told you to do it.
Your influence.
Yeah, it's giving. Yeah, it's influencing you to do it. It's giving you a good incentive to do it.
Exactly. Yeah, I have good reasons to build a core deck now. And like I want to have more than just my one casual deck, which is I've been in a casual slump because it's the only deck I've been having fun with. And I haven't really had time, haven't really had a new theme that I want to build with casual. I know you and I have been saying recently, at this point, the only casual decks I'm building are for new commanders that are coming out. Because I've seen all these other legendary creatures. If I haven't if I haven't built them after 15 years, I'm not going to build them.
So you think you're going to try to build a deck that'll fit into like one of these other categories?
Yeah, I think I might take a look at like some of the Aetherdrift commanders and try to figure out like, is there one there that I really like? Or maybe I'll wait a little bit, see if they finagle and mess with these brackets a little bit more so that by the time the Space Set or Spider-Man comes out, how am I not going to want to build a Spider-Man casual deck, right?
I think maybe now is maybe not the best time to build a casual deck. As we're waiting for the internet to settle and waiting for how these tiers are going to settle out, maybe now is a good time to just sit back and watch the dust settle a little bit.
CEDH player, because none of this is going to affect me.
None of this
affects
me.
I'm just going to play CEDH for a couple months.
Yeah, and with the Marvel shit coming out too, like if we get a Carnage card, I'm going to build Carnage. There are certain cards that like, and I don't want to like start building another deck right now.
I'm
and
not
like, oh,
spending money
it.
On a casual deck to take apart and then be like, oh, I want to use these
Spider-Man
sleeves.
Now.
Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, when I was looking at this list, I know I definitely want to shift some things around, make some decks stronger, some decks weaker, so they fit a little bit more firmly into these categories, just from like a content perspective. I kind of see something here where we're like, what's the best tier two deck? What's the best tier three deck? Like, we're going to do shit like that eventually.
Yeah.
So for that, I want to do that. But
a very unscientific version
of
it.
Yeah. But for me, tier one, I'm never going to touch tier one. That's just not for me. I know that very low power commander is not very fun for me. So what's it called? Exhibition. None of my decks are going to be there. Core, at least three of my six casual decks are probably going to be core decks. Hopefully three are going to be upgraded decks. No four decks for me. I don't get that tier at all. And then I'm going to have my hopefully 3 to 4 CDH decks.
Technically, all of our casual decks that we've been talking about on the channel recently have been less than ones.
No. Because they have intent. The ones I think truly you have to, your ultra casual commander deck. That's a much more important difference between your ultra casual commander deck and your average pre-constructed deck versus the list on the bottom. The bottom is just like very broad, loose. Those are the same.
You're right.
I
fell into my own fallacy that I've been preaching against.
It's not black and white.
It's not black and white. Yeah, you can't
vague.
Just look at how your deck is.
The core decks, the two decks, there is a goal of winning. It may not be your main goal, but you want to win. Ideally, it'd be nice to win with the deck.
Even if it's just through combat damage.
Whereas ones, I don't think winning is necessarily consideration even. It may be loosely, theoretically, it'd be nice, but I think to me that's like one of the main differences, at least as a CDH player, that's what I'm seeing, is like ones are ladies looking left, everyone in a chair or something like that, or just like pile of cards that I had, not in franchise players, and then two is more than that, so.
Oh, great, I'm already fucking up shit that I said I don't want people to fuck up.
I don't have any, you have any other thoughts on this?
No, that's pretty much it. Because again, this isn't really going to affect us as CEDH players a ton, but I think it's just like a really, really good thing for the community to have.
Besides,
in general,
it will, the watch list, Gavin did mention the Game Changers is kind of like a watch list. So financially, it might be good to like, maybe I'm not going to invest a ton of money right now on cards that are specifically
like
on this list.
If you don't already own a Mox Diamond, it might not make sense to buy Mox Diamond.
Right,
but
yeah.
Again, like, I don't know what the... I don't know.
No MTG Finance. Asterisk. Yeah, we don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, like,
but
why?
I'm not going to invest money into these particular cards right now.
But I'm not going to speculate and sell these cards either because they're on a watch
especially
list.
Especially in the next 6 months while we know this list will change. In April, this list will look different. We know that basically for sure.
It's only going to grow, right? Like, it doesn't shrink.
It will only grow, but some things might come off. I wouldn't
because
be surprised
they get banned, though. With the exception of Trouble in Paris, I would be surprised if they go, we decided that Cyclonic Rift isn't too powerful all of a sudden. I guess things can happen where if we get to a point where no one's playing Cyclonic Rift as much, if it becomes like a $600 card for some reason, it's just not seen as much, then yeah, I guess I could see it being removed because of metagame purposes.
Like, I could see Treble and Pairs being removed from the list.
Yeah, that's the biggest one.
I could see that one of like, we go, oh, this card's actually okay, we're going to remove it. The metagame has shifted or Commander has moved on enough, but that'll probably be rare, I would imagine, because this is a big deal to make it on this list. You are arguably one of the 40 strongest cards in Commander on this list,
or
right?
Saltiest. I mean, Dranath
or saltiest.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, more powerful, most impact to the game once they hit play. They impact the game in a large amount. So I think it's not a light list.
No, it's definitely not. It's definitely not. I think that is a good point to remember. It's not that we're not being affected by this at all. It's just that we now have a better idea of what to look for potential bans if they come.
Yeah. That's it.
That's it.
Thanks for watching. If you'd like to support us directly, you can do so on Patreon, like our $100 patrons.
Pat Fires, Spangler, Demetrius Clark, Larceny Roars, Your Boy Blue, Sparky B, Insomnia, SC Philip, Olden Groupie, Gecko 21, Caleb Ritchie, Zach Hartley, Reactive, Sean in the Ice, Luke Cook, Joshua Day, Demon of Rosgrease, Peter Stewart, Cornel Wiles, Uncle Butts, Nick Foles Go to 9, Kawaja A. Hamid, Lauren Connell, Scott Hawk, and Baby G Bus.
If you want to pick up any of our merch, you can do that at playtowinmtg.com.
Thank you, Dragonshoe, for supporting the show. Use code PlayToWin5 at our affiliate link down below for 5%. Off.
Follow us on social media for more content.
Thank you for watching.
See you next time.
Ghost Stories, Sarcastic, Roy Turner, Mystic Muffin Man, Zachary Coulson, Jabaha, Mace the Ace, Dalton Poti, Justin Mansolo, Jacob Tapp, Jan Wildfang, Thomas Bueno, David Nelson.
I Start With the Podcast is brought to you by so-and-so.
Yeah.
And we're not going to take each other's lines this time.
Don't fuck this up.